Grace, mercy, and peace are yours in abundance from God our Father through the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Word of God we're looking at on Last Judgment Sunday is our Gospel from John chapter 5. It's on pages 5 and 6 in your service folder if you have one, if you'd like to follow along as we talk about it. In Christ, dear fellow redeemed, it's a number of years ago, and I'm not real good at time, so I couldn't tell you how many, 15? I don't remember exactly. But I was talking with someone who was Muslim, and I had just recently taught a comparative world religions class. And so I said to this person, here's my understanding of your faith. Tell me where I'm wrong. That you spend your life trying to do the best you can the five pillars of Islam. I don't remember what they all are right now. I listed them off for him at that time, and he was nodding and saying, yeah, that's what we do. And you do that your whole life, and then on the day that you die, you hope Allah is in a good mood. Because if he's in a bad mood, even if you've done those things he asked you to do, he's going to send you to condemnation or whatever term you want to use. But if he's in a good mood, then you'll get to go to paradise. And this person looked at me and said, yeah, that's right. I said, how do you sleep at night? How do you sleep not having this confidence that your God loves you and has saved you? I said, can I tell you what my confidence is? And I told him about Jesus, said, here's what I believe. I believe every night when I lay my head on the pillow, if I don't wake up, I'm going to immediately be in paradise because it's all about Jesus, that he lived in my place, he died in my place, and this is a certain accomplished fact. I have a confidence every day of my life that I don't have to hope the one who judges me is in a good mood on the day that I die. Never really got to talk to the guy again, so I don't know how any of that went. But man, that's a big difference, isn't it? As you and I sit here today, with the Spirit living in our heart, having given us the gift of faith, it should not be I kind of hope that the Lord will take me to heaven. It's a confidence, a certainty, because it's all about God. It's not about us. It's not about anything we do. It's all, our salvation exists outside of us. And that's why it is such a certainty. And that's why it's so important that we continually proclaim it to one another, so that we can watch out, because you don't know when the day or the hour is coming, as our verse of the day said. Today, in the gospel, we see Jesus trying to give the people some confidence, this confidence, by saying you need to be connected to Jesus, to himself, that they didn't really have because they were so concerned about keeping the law, about doing the right thing, and so that God would then take them to heaven. And these guys were really upset with Jesus. But notice how Jesus still takes the time to patiently, lovingly, and kindly tell him, hey, this is of utmost importance. Three times he uses amen, amen. And it's translated, very truly I tell you. And that's hey, boys, you better sit up and listen to this because this is really important. And he does it as he defends himself against their accusations. And here was their accusation. He worked on the Sabbath. The work he did is he told a guy who was lame from birth to stand up, walk away, and carry your mat with you. And they were upset at this guy because he was carrying a mat on the Sabbath and doing work. And that broke their Sabbath laws. Not necessarily God's Sabbath law, but their Sabbath laws. So that then when they found out from this guy that Jesus had healed him, then they're even more incensed because Jesus healed on the Sabbath, which is doing work. And so did you catch Jesus' first defense right at the start? Yeah, my Heavenly Father, God the Father, is always working, whether it's Sabbath or not. He's always meeting the needs of people, taking care of people. And so the Son of God should do the same. So I'm always working. And that got them even more incensed. You can almost sense that their blood is boiling because they understood that when Jesus said that, he was claiming to be God. And so now he had the audacity to heal someone on the Sabbath and then tell that guy to pick up his mat and walk, which is breaking their Sabbath laws. And then he's now blaspheming by claiming to be equal to God. So he starts his defense with the amen, amen statements. The first one, it's all about how he and the Father are one. If you don't honor the Son, you can't honor the Father who sent him. That the Father loves him because the Son has come to do everything the Father has sent him to do. He talks about how interconnected they are as Father and Son, which just had to make their blood boil. And then he goes into some things that I wonder if they understood what he's talking about. But it didn't stop Jesus from trying to reach out to them and say, you need to be connected to me so that you can have eternal life. Because you look at what he says to them. Very truly, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. He's laying it right in front of them. If you want to cross over from death to life, it's not keeping Sabbath law. It's not what you do. It's being connected to Jesus who had come into this world so that people might have life and have it to the full. And he's talking about life as in the forgiveness of sins through Jesus' life and death in your place. Not you'll have it sometime in the future, but you have eternal life. You've crossed over from death to life when you believe in Jesus. He's really reaching out to them and saying, believe I am the promised Messiah. He even calls himself a messianic term that had to have their blood boiling when he referred to himself as the Son of Man. That's from Daniel. So he's saying, I'm it. I'm the one that all the prophecies that you study pointed to. Believe in me and you have crossed over from death to life. No ifs, ands, or buts. It's an accomplished fact. But he continues on and he says, very truly I tell you, the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of God and those who hear will live. He's not talking about the dead in a cemetery there. He's talking about spiritually dead people. He's talking to them and saying they were spiritually dead. The time has come and is now here when the dead will hear the voice of the Savior and the Savior will give them life. It's the word of God that gives us this confidence that Jesus did it all. And he's imploring these people who have spent so much of his time on earth attacking him. He's still in love imploring them and reaching out to them and say, get connected to me. The love and the patience of Jesus is beyond my comprehension. I can't wrap my head around how patient and loving he is with those who always seem to be upset or mad at him. And yet he still keeps loving them and reaching out with this because he wants them to cross over from spiritual death to spiritual life. And then again he says, very truly I tell you, listen to this, guys. This is all about that. It's crossing over to death to life. And if you think that's something, a day's going to come when I'm going to come back to this world and all who are in the grave are going to come out. And then he says something that, after Reformation Sunday last week, might sound like fingernails on a chalkboard to our ears. Those who have done good will rise to live. Those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. You know, I thought we said last week we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone. Scripture alone is the authority. And doesn't Paul say in Ephesians, it's by grace you are saved through faith, not from yourselves, not by works, so that no one can boast? So what in the world does he mean when he says those who have done good will rise to be saved? Well, you got to ask yourself and answer it from Scripture, not from your own mind. What does God consider good? Is it doing the works of the law? Is it obeying what he said? Is that what's good? Didn't Jesus just get done telling these guys who were so meticulous about how they were keeping the Sabbath law that they were spiritually dead? Didn't it say in the Old Testament, all of your righteous acts are like filthy rags if they aren't done out of love for God? That even the good things you do according to the law, if it's not done out of faith in Jesus, it's not good in God's eyes? In the New Testament, doesn't he say, without faith, it is impossible to please God? In the book of Hebrews. The only thing that's good in God's eyes are things that are done out of love for him according to his will. And only believers can do anything good then in God's eyes. So those who have done good will rise to live is just saying those who believed in Jesus. And those who have done evil, well, all the socially, civically good things someone might do are evil if they aren't done out of love for God, according to God. So those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Jesus lays it all out that it's all about him. He tells them he is going to be the one that's going to be there to do the judging because the Father had given it all to him. And he really is saying all judgment is based on what's your relationship to me. But what amazes me, and what I think we should think a little bit about today, is how he reaches out to people that you would just think aren't, there's no way in the world they're going to listen. And yet he still lovingly tries to bring them the gospel so that they might believe. Because I think we got to ask ourselves this question. When you believe in Christ, you have crossed over from death to life. That was in there, right? That's one of the key points in this whole section. Is that a one-way door? Or is it possible after you have crossed over to life to go back to death and lose the faith that God has given you? Well, in the Bible it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. It says, don't put out the Spirit's fire. The Spirit's fire is not a pumpkin-scented candle. The Spirit's fire is faith that lives in your heart. Don't put out the Spirit's fire is saying, watch out, you don't know the day when he's coming. Watch out, make sure that you stay connected by faith to Jesus. Feed your faith, grow your faith, live your faith. You can't come to faith on your own, but once you are a believer, you can make use of word and sacrament so that you stay in the faith. And you can do exactly what Jesus did. Confidence received from Jesus that when I stand before him on the day of judgment, I am not worried about being sent to hell. That confidence is confidence that he has given us, and that's the confidence he gives us to share. And we share it with everyone, not just with those we like or are comfortable with, or not just those who we think might listen to us. We share it with everyone, lovingly, kindly, patiently, like Jesus did. This morning after the sermon, Lord willing, we'll watch the Wells Connection for this month. Wells Connection for this month is going to talk about home mission openings, and the goals they had set at the last Synod Convention for home mission openings. And home mission openings are wonderful. It's great to go to new places to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. But do not ever make the mistake of thinking mission work is only done in a congregation where it says home mission. Average size church in our country is right around 100. Right around 100. That's the average size church in the United States throughout all denominations, pretty much Protestant denominations. We're, as a congregation, just under 750, 747, 748, something like that. Between online worship and in-person worship, we're averaging about 250, 255 a week in worship. That means we've got five congregations, five churches that aren't in worship weekly. Confidence received is confidence to share, and that can be well be our mission field to say, stay connected to Jesus, be close to him. We want you in heaven with us. And you can tell me that, well, Pastor, that ain't my job. That's your job. That's why we pay you, so you go do that. And I would tell you, bull. God has said to all Christians, teach, admonish, correct, rebuke, and encourage one another. Being a part of the body of Christ is not about your membership has benefits. It's not about what you receive from God or from his church. It's God has given you this gift of faith, and now membership has responsibilities. He has called you to be your brother's keeper. He has called you to speak this confidence and share it with others. He has called you to be concerned about those who seem to be drifting away from Jesus. He has called you to be concerned about those who have never heard about Jesus. This is what he has entrusted to your care. As we see this confidence we have, it gives us confidence to speak in love, patiently, kindly, and gently. Because The day is coming. And on that day, it's either heaven or hell. You have the key that unlocks heaven for people. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has called and equipped all of us as Christians to share that. Amen.